the pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Moving along, halfway home, and a couple more guests to come. We'll talk about the Alabama situation with a guest from Tuscaloosa a little bit later on. Daryl in Baton Rouge is up next.
Hey, Paul, how you making out today, man?
Hey, Daryl.
Hey, guess what? Something wrong with me. Seriously. That knee replacement surgery must have affected my mind, and this is why. I'm starting to enjoy Bash's phone calls. I think.
Yeah, Daryl. I think. Are you? By the way, Daryl, are you still cutting hair?
No, I never have cut hair, Paul. I'm just friends with the guys that are.
Oh, okay. You're right. Okay. Yeah, you had your knee replacement. I forgot. Let me correct myself. Daryl used to call about the barber shop. Yeah.
Yes.
TR cut hair.
But anyway.
By the way, have you ever thought about cutting hair? I think you'd be good.
No, Paul. I'm an engineer. I'm retired.
Well, I'm just thinking, everybody, I have a hobby. I mean, the show is my hobby.
Yeah. But anyway, old Bash, you know why I enjoy it, Paul?
What was that, Daryl?
There's no telling what Bash is going to talk about every day. It changes daily.
Well, you know, it depends on how much weed he's inhaled.
Yeah, and he's a college kid, you know, and
yeah.
I enjoy it.
Sure.
But anyway, talking about
So Daryl, hold on. You said you were an engineer?
Yeah, safety engineer.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm retired. I used to own my own firm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
It's good business. Yeah, not bad for a country boy.
Yeah, no, that's pretty impressive. I never knew that, but by saying something stupid, I learned today. That's a good lesson for all of us. Don't be afraid to be stupid.
But look, let me ask you about I-Man. I-Man needs to get out more. You think is he single or married?
I know he's got, I don't know his marital status. I think he's married, but remember, I-Man is a heating and cooling engineer.
We're good.
Which
we
means that he spends a lot of time in crawl space, in attics, outside, Freon. What else do you do?
Fiberglass in the
fiberglass,
attic.
Yeah,
fiberglass.
And all these things that asbestos that put him in danger of sanity.
Exactly.
So that's why he is this way.
Now, speaking about haircuts, what we could do next year when you come to Baton Rouge, if you come to Baton Rouge, we'll put him on a plane.
I will be
you.
In Baton Rouge next year, guaranteed.
We'll put him on a plane with you. We'll get him landed. We'll take him by the barbershop for a haircut.
Hey,
all my buddies.
Hey, Daryl, the chance of me sitting next to I-Man on a plane are pretty slim.
Really? I thought y'all were buds, Paul.
I didn't say we weren't. I just would you want to sit next to I-Man on a plane?
Me?
I mean, I'm afraid he might pull out his bong and get us both arrested.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, the flight attendant says, Mr. I-Man, would you mind putting that contraption away? We're about to take off.
Hey, Paul. You know, he's a smart guy.
Try using ear pods for your Allman Brothers greatest hits collection.
Yeah, he's a smart guy, and he used to make good phone calls.
Yeah, used to is the key word there.
If we get him a haircut, and then if he's single, we'll go take him to the ball game. Maybe he'll meet a nice girl or something, you know. But he needs
not.
To get out more.
Yeah, no, he's not. Daryl, listen, I'm glad we talked. I'm glad we found out you're an engineer. You just go to the barbershop. You don't work there. Why did I think the guy? I mean, I don't know. Is that a sign of dementia for me that I forgot that he just went to the barbershop? I mean, Jim did say that I was a failing capital F host. Handsome Joe, who has never failed us in any of his calls.
Paul, you know what? Roll Tide, roll, my
roll
brother.
Tide, yeah.
Hey, you're far from a failure. I mean, that's just, you can't. But that just, as far as Jim, you know, never tweet or talk bad when you're either drunk or angry.
Tweeting is bad for you anyway. But if you're I don't think Jim drinks. I just think he's
No.
He is permanently angry, and I think it just depends on what degree. And you know, you do a breathalyzer, and you're what, point?
Point six.
I mean, he's like 0.10 on the anger analyzer.
Hey, he'd probably tweet better if he was drunk.
Well,
you know, some people.
Yeah, have you ever been around a guy? And I had a relative like this. I won't mention who he was because he's passed. But I was saying to him, you know, this guy needs a stiff drink. Doesn't everyone know somebody who say, well, I don't drink. Try it.
Hey,
okay? Maybe you wouldn't be so angry.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't care if you drink or not, but sometimes some people, you know, a shot or two would.
Yeah.
Yeah, a puff or two, a shot or two.
Well, hey, I've had my share in the past. In fact,
I don't think
Jim
drinks, do you? Nobody that angry could drink.
No. If he did, he'd chill out some, Paul. But drinking, it was a few years back. Me and three other guys, we were working down in Hoover, Alabama. I know you know where that is.
I used to live there, yeah.
And anyway, we went out. We've done work for the day, so we went out to, you know, got us a steak. And there was a bar that was about 4 blocks from the hotel. So I told him, I said, look, just drop me off here. It was a karaoke bar.
Oh, yeah.
I said, y'all go back. I'll just get me a hotel back in the hotel room. Well, I sat with this, you know, lady and her husband there for about 4 or 5 hours. I mean, they're way too long than I should have been. And anyway, she said, why don't we get up here and sing a song? I said, sing a song? I said, what kind? She said, how about Picture, you know, Kid Rock, Sheryl Crow. So I don't know how we did. They wouldn't be like 8 people in there. They applauded, but they were drunker than I was, Paul. But, you know, but anyway, I called the kid.
Well, by the way, Joe, not to interrupt a really great story, but what were you drinking?
I mean, what wasn't I drinking, Paul? Jaeger Bomb, beer, Jack and Coke.
Jaeger Bomb.
Wow.
Okay.
It was way too many. Way too many.
Way too
many. I called a cab, Paul.
You were drinking way too many. That's a bad drink, way too many.
Yeah.
Right. So I called a cab because I didn't need to be walking I didn't need to be walking the block.
Call me a cab.
So
okay, you're a cab.
So he pulls off down to the interstate and takes me 20 miles away from the hotel and drops me off at some hotel I've never heard of. And I said, man, this ain't where I'm supposed to be. He said, that paid me, I think it was $30-something. I said, I ain't paying you for taking me 25 miles off or nothing. He turned around and hit me in the knee. When he did, Paul, I clocked him right in the side of the jaw. And he said, get out of my cab. So I got out. I called one of the guys I worked with. And I'm walking around this hotel.
You're in Birmingham, Alabama, and you're fighting, in Hoover, Alabama, and you're fighting with the cab driver?
Yeah.
I mean, understand New York. It's a battle every time you get in a cab in New York.
Right. But anyway, the cops showed up. You know, I'm on the phone with a guy telling him I don't know where I'm at, you know, because he dropped me off way down the road. And the cops showed up, and they asked me, what are you doing walking around this hotel? I said, because I don't stay in this hotel. I don't even know where I'm at.
Yeah.
And I told him where I stay at and what bar I was at. And he said, well, you could walk that distance. I said, not in the shape I'm in. I couldn't. But anyway, the cops took me back to the hotel I stayed at. So it all worked out good. But you know what? It just goes to show you, Paul. Maybe
like
I should have just stayed at the hotel. Yeah, maybe I should have just stayed at the hotel not seen the sun shining 3 damn days like the song said. But, you know, hey, don't never tweet angry. Don't tweet angry. As far as I'm in, I don't care anything I'm in says. Paul, I don't know an Auburn fan that's ever talked good about Alabama Crimson Tide football. So I'm in, just keep being I'm in. I wouldn't want to be on a plane with him, but if I did, it'd smell like somebody put pot incense in the plane. Anyway, you have a good Paul Tide, Bob. Roll Tide, roll, my brother.
Thank you, handsome. Man, that was a good call. What a journey. First of all, how do you find a cab in Hoover, Alabama? And why are you fighting the cab driver? That's not a smart thing to do. While you're drunk, you're fighting the only guy that can get you back to the right hotel. Johnny B.
Hey, I'm still taking in Handsome Joe's story there. That was
a good one. That was a good one.
Does the show have a mission statement? You know how every
The mission statement today is to make everybody go drink so they don't have to listen anymore.
Well, from Daryl's call, I think we should adopt "Don't be afraid to be stupid." That should be our new thing. But yeah, you're talking about people that don't drink. The best they're gonna feel is when they get up in the morning. If you drink, you got all day to get better. The day picks up from there on. But I heard today on another station, listening to some sports, about Florida was having trouble with their NIL money. Have you heard anything about this?
No. What's the problem?
Well, they were trying to figure out why they're not getting any money, because they were one of the first states to pass it. And, you know, it's kind of the quandary is like, do we not want to give because we don't want Billy Napier to have players and get rid of him? But the genius part is they said like 80% of Florida graduates live in Florida. They hired this search firm to put up billboards, go around the state looking for places to put billboards. And it reminded me of like a progressive commercial coming to life, you know, like this old couple riding down the road and they're looking, hey, honey, look there at that sign. Slow down, give me the pen, I got to get the number. And then, you know, I can't believe that their best idea here in the digital age with all kind of social media is to pay some guy to ride around and find place to put up billboards. That defines.
Well, now you have a better understanding of the Florida program. Hey, thank you for the call. It is 5 o'clock here, by the way. We are coming right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. As we roll on here, more guests to come, and let's check in with Dane, who is up next. Hello, Dane.
How are you doing today, Paul?
Very well. Thank you.
I had a question. I'm an old Gator amongst many old Gator grads.
Sure.
And I don't hear much about the Gators on your program because I guess most everybody calls from either Alabama, Mississippi, or Louisiana. But I just wanted to ask you what your thoughts were on Gators basketball this year. They've won some pretty good games even this week with Auburn. Then they beat Kentucky and, a long time ago, Florida State, and they've come very close to beating a lot of very good teams within 1 or 2 points. They seem to be picking up this year. Where do you think they'll end up in the tournament?
Yeah, I think they're in great shape. I thought the game against Auburn was fantastic, and the Kentucky. I've seen both Kentucky games, and I think Coach Golden is a phenomenal coach. I know he's young and energetic, and I like that. And I think he has brought something back to that program that was desperately needed and had seemingly gone away under Coach White. Thanks for the call. Kevin is in Houston. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, great to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Thank you.
I wanted to call, and I've been threatening to call for some time now. Ever since this NCAA and Tennessee thing came out, And I wanted to just ask you how eloquent you thought Selena would talk to us about it if she could call in now.
Oh, yeah, she would be great. I remember seeing her a couple of years ago before she passed away, and she was a fantastic caller, a great writer, and most of all, a loyalist to the Vols. I think she would be having a lot of entertainment with this situation.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to hear her again. You know, last time I talked to you was, you know, when y'all did the tribute tour, and for some reason she took me under her wing and made me a friend of hers. And so, you know, I'm just so glad I got to spend time with her.
She was a VFLer, and she really cared. And I vaguely remember not long before she passed away, I ran into her at a restaurant. I think it was it was on the water there in Knoxville, and it was just so good to see her. And
she co-wrote a book on right. Tennessee with someone, and she had a lot of books that she wrote, and I actually have all of my kids have a book from her that I bought from her before she passed away. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because I'd love to hear her take on it. So she would be so eloquent.
Well, thanks,
Kevin. The NCAA would probably think they were just being complimented before she was tearing them down.
Thank you. Yeah, I remember I was at the Calhoun's on the water there, famous place, and I was speaking to a group, and I ran into her walking out of the restaurant. That's the very last time I talked to her. Thanks for bringing that up. I don't know. I feel like some normalcy. It's kind of ground myself right now, and I think I've got the guy that is going to do that. John is calling next from St. Louis. Hey, John.
Hello, Paul. How are you today, sir?
Is this long distance, John?
Well, Paul, you know, about this time of the day, I'm always on long distance, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, John.
Anyway, Paul, real quick here, I wanted to, I was looking for somebody to blame for the entertainment at the Super Bowl, which, you know, I have my own preferences, but I kind of ripped into Reba McEntire, and I have to say I was off base, quite frankly.
That's fair. And, I'll tell Reba you apologize.
She is an icon, and Reba, you're the best, okay? So forgive me for
that.
But anyway, Paul.
Reba just sent me a note saying, thank you, John. That means a great deal.
But, Paul, I'm going to talk about something that I've kind of noticed, you know, over the years with your show. And, you know, I think there's a couple of songs that kind of emulate your show that, quite frankly, you know, first of all, let's talk about, remember the song by Maria Muldaur back in 1973?
Midnight. I heard that song today.
Senior Camel of Bed, Paul.
Oh yeah, what a memorable song. I didn't say great.
Yeah,
I said
and that's
memorable.
That's what I'm telling you about your callers. It is, and you know something, Paul. You ought to tell your callers to sing the Camel to bed and quit calling up here and telling Paul everything that he wants to hear. And then another thing.
Okay, another song
that. It's very typical of your program is
you're so vain.
Remember the song by Nancy and Frank Sinatra, Something Stupid?
Oh, something. I thought you were going to go, My Boots Are Made For, but yeah, Something Stupid. They sung to each other.
Something Stupid. That's what your show is today, Paul.
Ooh,
something
ooh,
Stupid.
Ooh. That was a good
and
punch.
Everybody's calling up here.
John, I'm sorry, but I'm very proud of the show. I mean, you know what, John? Sometimes you have children; they make mistakes. I feel like that about this program. These are my children, and even when they screw up, they're my children, John.
Well, don't you think sometimes, Paul, your program is a big mistake?
No, I don't, John. John, we have a purpose here.
Well, what is the purpose? That's what I'm going to get down to right now. What is the purpose of your show other than the fact that, Paul, most of the time you have your callers call up here and tell you exactly what you want to hear.
John,
your
anger issues are starting to flare up again.
It's not anger, Paul.
Yeah, it is.
Realism.
There's something about you, John, that just doesn't like what we do here. And you know what we do here, John?
Do you know what the show is all about, John? Okay, listen to this, Paul. Listen, I'm going to paraphrase the song by Frank Sinatra and Nancy. And then you go and tell it all something stupid.
Ooh.
Okay? And that's what it is right now, sir.
I thought you were going to call me a tramp, saying this lady is a tramp.
No tramp.
Hey, John, I got to tell you this. I feel like I like you, John. I feel like we're friends, even though you hate me.
No. Go ahead.
This show is to be enjoyed, John. This is people, you know, we're on right now in bars. We're on in living rooms. We're on in radios on the highway. People tune in at different times. It's a long show. They consume it either live or maybe they go back. And your anger issues, John, just don't allow you to see the good in what we do here.
Well, you know what my response is to that, Paul?
What is that, John?
That is not anger, Paul. What I am doing, sir, is I am telling the truth.
No, you're not.
Paul, over and out.
I was hoping he'd call me a young man. That doesn't happen very often. We have a rebuttal to John's call. William?
Paul, I've never gotten mad on this show. I've never raised my voice. I've never put anybody down. But right now, John, you're off base. My call about a deceased deputy and an injured deputy, a member of law enforcement in Maryville, Tennessee, which affects everybody in this country, was not stupid. And, you know, frankly, John, you are a curmudgeon and you're an idiot. And, Paul, I've never raised my voice in all the years I've called, but finally, John has just proven that I'd like to buy him for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth, Paul.
Well, thank you, John. And I thought your call moved a lot of people, and it was an important subject, and it affected people, whether they were personally involved. Everyone knows someone who has been in that predicament. And many, many young men and women right now are out there protecting all of us. Thank you very, very much, William. And I'm sorry for John. I mean, I try to like him, but everybody here knows, whether it's a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, could be a spouse, could be a child. Everyone's got that, what would you call it? That kind of invisible wall up.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a boiling point. I don't know what happened in John's youth. It usually, not to be a psychiatrist here, but I will be. Most of this comes from, is it adolescence? Is it puberty? Is it somewhere between, 5 and 15,
yep.
5 and 20?
Something
happened to John. I think I know what it was. And I won't say it on the air because it's humiliating. And he never got over it. And he sees me when whatever that person is that he still harbors this grudge against, he sees me as that person. And we'll leave it there.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Man, Carolina, hot team, taking on Auburn in Auburn. Chase Goodbread, headline from Tuscaloosa News. Kalen DeBoer's wild transition isn't slowing down. He's only been there for about a month. And every day there is something going on. Chase, joining us. Good to talk to you, Chase. It has been a wild time, I mean, to say the least. I know you've been at the epicenter of it all. What's it been like since the news broke four and a half weeks ago that Nick Saban was leaving?
You know, like you said, it's been nonstop news, Paul, of course, whether it's been coaching hires, recruiting news, portal guys in, portal guys out. And, you know, normally in a Nick Saban regime, the months of January and February, at least when they're done playing football, are pretty darn quiet. You know, you really didn't hear much of anything from Nick Saban during this time of year, other than obviously National Signing Day. So, it's definitely been pretty crazy. A lot of news left and right. And here, kind of right when Kalen DeBoer seemed to have kind of had things settled with a coaching staff in place, National Signing Day passed him. And, of course, Signing Day and this February Signing Day isn't near as big a deal as it used to be. But, you know, it certainly seemed like he'd kind of gotten past all the personnel moves that had to be made. And then now all of a sudden a couple more coaching hires have to be made.
Chase, the thing with Ryan Grubb was always confusing, and I realize, you know, he tried to get the Washington job, didn't get it, came to Tuscaloosa, and I don't think it was ever officially announced, although Grubb said he was the coach on signing day. Can you give us the backstory on that, and why does this seem so weird, and some people feel like it was even deceptive on Alabama's part?
Well, he was never announced. There's still, I believe, most of the coaches that DeBoer's got on board right now, if not all of them, I don't know that any of them have been officially announced. Usually that doesn't happen until contracts get rubber stamped through the Board of Trustees, et cetera. But Grubb was definitely in and out. Greg Byrne told our beat writer in the last few days that DeBoer was well aware that Grubb was potentially not going to be coming along either by taking the Washington head job or potentially the Seahawks job. So it's something DeBoer may have seen, apparently saw coming down the road, but Grubb was in and out, no doubt about it, awful quick. It's not terribly uncommon. You do see these coaches sometimes jump from one job to another and, you know, just a couple of weeks at this time of year. But, you know, it's definitely a move that I know Alabama fans weren't thrilled to see.
Yeah, that'll help of a number of really key players leaving. You've pointed all that out in your piece. Chase, just give us your sense. This program, we saw a poll today. These things are worthless, by the way, but they're still out there. Alabama ninth. It was, and they were ranked fifth among the SEC schools. As somebody who's covered multiple national championships throughout your career for Saban and others, what's your sense of this program right now in Tuscaloosa?
It's wait and see, especially on the offensive front. You know, Alabama personnel wise, a lot of the talent's moved on. Jalen Milroe returns at quarterback, but it's going to be a relatively fresh batch of receivers playing in the fall. Pretty limited experience coming back in that regard. The five-star recruit Ryan Williams is probably going to have a really good chance to play early, I would think. Lost some key guys on the offensive line, probably a first-round pick at offensive tackle in J.C. Latham. You lose your starting running back in McClellan. You lose your top receiving tight end in Amari Niblack. new head coach, new offensive coordinator. It's going to be interesting to see how things get unveiled in September. But it's wait and see, Paul. Everything's new. Everything's fresh.
Give us your impressions of DeBoer. We had a chance to talk to him early on. Seems perfectly smooth and competent. Is he seen much? I literally haven't heard anything about him other than losing coaches and players. What is your sense from the front row?
Looking forward to sitting down with him at some point one-on-one. To this point, he's only done group press conferences. I've been to two of those, one on the day he was introduced and another brief one that he did in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. He definitely is a guy that's smooth at the microphone. I don't think you're going to see him make a lot of press conference errors. He's a confident guy and a guy that I think the offense that he's brought from Fresno State to Washington and then Washington to Alabama is one that's proven to be explosive, one of the best in the country last couple of years at UW. Question will be how quick can he get it off the ground at Alabama, given all the transition with not only players but staff as well.
Talking to Chase Goodbread about all the changes. So give us your best guess at this hour. I've seen a lot of reports out there, but hard to know what to believe. So what is he going to do with the OC position, and who will call plays?
Yeah, it sounds like Nick Sheridan is going to be the guy. Of course, he was the tight ends coach at Washington, had previously been an offensive coordinator for two seasons at Indiana. That was 2020 and 2021. I imagine Sheridan will more than likely call plays. We'll see. DeBoer, to my knowledge, has not called plays since he was the OC at Indiana in 2019. So I'd be surprised if he dove back into that right away. But stranger things have certainly happened. Wouldn't shock me, but it would surprise me. I think Sheridan will probably be the play caller, and it's not surprising at all either that DeBoer, with this hire, went with somebody that he knows and has worked with before. You'd get a head job like Alabama, it's such a big job. You tend not to go off the reservation with coordinator hires, especially right out of the gate. So, picking somebody he's worked with before and Sheridan, I think, was obvious.
Chase, finally, Nick Saban. There was a few people were mumbling about we're going to see a lot of Nick Saban. We saw him at the press conference, but I realize it's wintertime and he's got about 10 homes around the world. Has anybody seen Nick Saban since that press conference?
I haven't laid eyes on him myself. That doesn't necessarily mean he hadn't been around. My understanding is his new office on campus is going to be in Bryant-Denny Stadium somewhere, as opposed to the Malmore building, which, of course, where the head coach's office is. But it's a great question, Paul. What's his level of involvement going to be as an advisor, as a consultant? What other things might go into that role? Could it be a fundraising role to some extent? Who knows? He's in a position, obviously, where he'll be involved exactly as much as he wants to be, no more, no less. And, like you said, at this time of year, it's hard to get a handle on exactly what that'll be. But I would imagine by the end of the calendar year, certainly, and probably even more so by the end of the summer, we'll have a little bit better idea of what he's going to be doing.
I'd be giving the golf coach more advice than the football coach, as much golf as I've seen him playing lately.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He's living his best life. I'd be doing this. I'm no golfer. I can't swing a golf club for anything, but if I was in his position, I'd be having as much fun as I could.
Don't blame him. Chase, thank you. Always great to have Chase Goodbread on from the Tuscaloosa News, the latest on the new regime in T-Town. We'll take a short break, back with much more.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And Gunny is up next from Georgia. Hello, Gunny.
Hello, Paul. Paul, I'd just like to apologize to you. I have so much I want to say to you. I'm 80 years old, and I always kind of freeze up. But I do want to tell you that I really appreciate you. And I appreciate your show.
Thank you, Gunny.
I'm 80 years old, and I'm an invalid. I'm in the bed. And so from 3 o'clock to 7 every day, that's my entertainment.
Well, thank you.
And I enjoy the deal on there. You know, I do have a couple of stories I'd like to tell you.
Sure.
But I usually freak up and don't.
No, no. Hey, listen, now, we've talked before. You have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Okay. Well, you know, when you respect somebody a lot and everything, you kind of tongue-tied a little bit, you know. But anyway, I do appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
And I value your opinions on there, but I don't value some of the opinions of some of the callers. You're an analyst, and there are analysts on there that can tell. But people like Ah Man and the idiot from Miami, you know, the Alabama hater and all those are people are just haters. I went to school at Auburn, and I don't appreciate Ah Man never talks about Hugh Freeze being there and that we're going to come up. I think we'll have a pretty good program over the next few years. We might even compete for a SEC championship. But I wish they'd say something good about their own program and stop wishing. And I guess wishful thinking when they talk about Alabama and, you know, they want Alabama to, you know, I guess they want the COVID attack or the swine flu or something so Alabama can't do anything. But I'll tell you one thing, in the Southeastern Conference, we're going to get to see some wonderful football games this year. The Southeastern Conference with
you know,
Texas,
Gunny,
Alabama.
I've never been more excited about a season because there's so much, the schedule is phenomenal. We've already seen that. And there's such a new dimension with the two new schools and the playoff. I mean, this is a big time year.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just going to be, I mean, there's going to be great games every Saturday,
oh, yeah.
You know. And we're going to get to see some what we used to call the game of the century and stuff. We're going to have one of them every Saturday.
Yeah, we've all seen some of those game of the centuries. Hey, listen, I'm so glad to hear from you. I appreciate what you've done. We've had a few conversations about your history, and I wish you only the best.
Well, thank you a lot, and I appreciate your deal, and I appreciate the deal about the policeman who got shot.
Right,
and,
from William. That was very poignant what William said. Well, be well, Gunny, and call us again soon. Thank you so very, very much. Virgil. Hey, Virgil.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great.
To start off with, I'd like to offer my condolences to the officer that got shot, to his family and his friends. But I called about Ah Man. I wish people would. He's a friend of mine, and I wish people would quit getting down on him so bad. He's lost more than people give him credit for. And as far as Jim from Tuscaloosa, I think he's more like 83, 84 years old. And if he's done as much stuff as he says he has, he'd be, his name would be plastered all over the state of Alabama. All the stuff he says he's done, he ain't done all that stuff.
No, you're right.
He's as full of crap as Christmas turkey.
Hey, well, Virgil, thank you very, very much.
Y'all have a good day.
I wonder if his name was Virgil Kane. Maybe he rides the Danville train. I don't know. Did they do that again? You got to go way back to know what I just said. But I'm sure, assuming he's not in his Freon comfort zone, he knows exactly what I just said. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.